I don't know that I'm going to teach what I was planning on teaching because we went a little long in worship, but I enjoyed the opportunity to get to do that. And so I was going to take advantage of that for as long as it seemed to go on. Hallelujah. So in the process here, I'm kind of just beginning to ask the Lord, okay, now since that's not going to work, what is it that you want to do? Because one of the things that is happening here is that we're in a time where God is changing our perspective. He's changing what we see and what we hear and what we think. It's a time of preparation because, see, there's something about to burst forth on the scene that we've never seen before. So there's something about to happen to our generation that's never happened to previous generations. And so there's a time of preparation that God is doing within us. And then within that time means that we have to begin to look and to understand the things that have been in the history of who we are. And begin to observe these things in a different way. And not do things just simply because they're a habit, but to do things because it's kingdom. You know, the changes that God has been doing in me in the last few weeks have been really phenomenal because I've been seeing things in a whole new light. And even last night, we had put up the Christmas tree and we just put it up in a normal spot. And last night, I'm looking at that whole situation in the living room and I just walk in and I just see in a whole different place. And I'm going, we don't have to, this would actually be better. We did the other out of tradition, but this would be better. Because God is putting on new eyes to see. He's putting on new eyes to see in all of our situations. Everything that we're looking at, everything that we're thinking about. If you would, Chris, just trim me back just a little bit. Hallelujah. Thank you all of you for your participation in the worship this morning. That made it extra special. And Monica especially, thank you. Hallelujah. Glory. There's a preparation that God is doing in our perspective. He's changing the things that we see. And see, there's a lot of things about our environment that are beginning to change right now, and we haven't necessarily even begun to really totally notice. But for example, you go to a dealership, an auto dealership, all of a sudden you're seeing a whole lot of pavement. Before there were cars covering that pavement. And see, one thing, something that is a problem for one person, though, is somebody else's opportunity. Because I look at all that pavement and I think, God, there's got to be something I can do with all this pavement. Something I can do that will bring attention to this dealership, but also bring glory to God. Now, I haven't come up with exactly what that idea is. Maybe he just wants me to hold a rally right there on the side of 290. I don't know. But there's something we can do with all this pavement that's out there. Because there's dealership after dealership that's available. And you know, there's places where it used to be cars that now is just a lot of concrete. And God has a purpose. If we can begin to open our eyes and begin to open our hearts and our ears to listen for what is this purpose, let's begin to use these situations that we see around us for His glory and His benefit. So those are the things that God has been kind of stirring in me, some thought processes. And it becomes evident within me that maybe we as the kingdom of God have been missing out on a few things. Because we haven't totally understood the heart of God in some matters. We haven't totally understood the heart of God in how much He loves us and how much He desires for us to be with Him. We haven't totally understood the heart of God in the totality of His acceptance. We haven't understood the heart of God in His desire to bless us. We haven't understood Him in these simple things because we haven't known Him enough yet. It's time for us to know Him. It's time for us to not just look like the world, but to look like the body of Christ, the bride that He has called us to be. It's time for us to rise up and become that bride in the way that, and manifest it in a way that brings glory to the kingdom of God. That means we have to change our perspective. We have to change our habits because, see, these things that we've developed as habits look way too much like the world. So he's changing the way that we think in this process. He's changing those hearts and the strongholds. He's delivering us from mindsets. See, it's time to be about the Father's business. It's time to be about the Father's business. And see, that there are so many avenues that we can take that into. The one that he's currently seems to be camping on because it keeps coming up and because there's a focus and there's a whole lot that needs to be shifted is in the area of finance. Now, some people have managed to attain a household deliverance level. Not a whole lot of people, but some. But see, that's something that he's dealing with in me. And he's also dealing with in this body. Because, see, we have to look at a situation and go, I'm not going to respond out of the fear that I used to respond. I'm going to respond out of the knowledge of and the trust in who he is. The knowledge and trust in what he has placed within me. Because of the faithfulness he has shown to me over and over and over, I can begin to understand and look at this situation in a whole new light now. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it. Now, we often we know the blessing. We speak of the blessing of God is, my house is a blessing. My friends are a blessing. My church is a blessing. But God's not speaking of these objects like that. What he's actually talking about is his covenant. The covenant of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it. The covenant of God. The covenant that God set forth. And we see his covenant being displayed with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We see his covenant being displayed with Peter and James and Paul. We see his covenant being displayed over and over in the acts that Jesus did. Because so much of what we need to do now is begin to change our thinking and align our thinking to do what Jesus did. His covenant maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it. See, our need for self-sufficiency was a result of the curse. I told you last week or the week before that God was breaking down that self-sufficiency that was in me. That self-sufficiency that said, I know how to do this. I can make this happen. All the pronouns being I and what I can do. And that's what God is needing to break down within us. Because see, as we break that down, because we can set it aside, then we're actually stepping out from under the curse. Because what happened with Adam in the garden? See, he was challenged and he began to believe, rather than to believe the word of God, he began to believe the word, he began to believe the circumstances that presented to his five senses. We stood Kim up here and we said, well, she partook of that fruit, and we looked at her and we could see that, you know, she still smelled the same, she looked the same. I could still hear her laugh. All these things, all my five senses said, hey, she partook of the fruit and nothing happened. And Adam believed what his five senses said, and because he believed what his five senses said, then he took himself out from underneath the government and the hand of God and began to step into his own covering. And see, the same way that when we operate in our self-sufficiency, believing that it's I that does this and it's I who can make these things happen, we take ourselves out from underneath the hand of God and place ourselves again in that same covering that we made, our own government, our own covering. And that's the whole thing that God is trying for us to see, is that it's not that we don't have a responsibility to work and to produce. We do. But the focus of that work and that we do needs to be about His harvest and His kingdom. See, we've lost the whole focus of what it was that God was trying to do, what He set for us. Because we spend 40 to 80 hours a week working just to meet our basic needs. We miss the whole covenant of God and what He tries to set up and ordain for His families, because mom has to go to work and dad has to go to work just to meet the basic need. And so as a result, because we're doing those things, then the whole family structure that God intended gets destroyed. Kim and I, we fell into that. I mean, it took everything that we had just to basically feed us and put a roof over our head when we first started out. Now, there got to be a time where that was no longer true. But by the time that was no longer true, we were so entrenched in the system that we didn't see it any other way. We didn't look for it to be any other way. So what God is doing is He's beginning to change our mindsets, and He's beginning to awaken us to go, wait a second. We've been cheated here. There's a different way. Because see, the grace of God that was so upon us for our salvation is also upon us in this area. It's there and available, but we have to begin to apprehend it, begin to understand that we can receive it. And you may, like myself, realize and think, well, within yourself, well, there's nothing that I can do to deserve that. Well, the truth is, there was nothing you could do to deserve salvation either. If you got what you deserved, you'd be going to hell. But we don't get what we deserve. We get what grace has. In the same way, we can begin to look and understand that what God is trying to do in our lives is begin to change our confession. He's begin to call forth the words and the life that's within us to speak creatively, to take dominion over the situations. See, our motto is going to be, do what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He took authority. Let me back up just a second here. Because see, in the garden, what was the original charge in Genesis 2 and 15? What was the original charge to Adam? The original charge in Adam, according to Genesis 2:15, says, and the Lord took the man and put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. To dress it and to keep it. It means to cultivate it. To cause it. Let's see, what's it say? When he said to dress it, it says to make it to serve, to honor. See, when we look at these words, we think in the terms of post. We think in terms of what's happened and how things work after the fall. But see, before the fall, there were no thistles and thorns and weeds. His work wasn't in the weeding and the pulling and the rooting up and uprooting of all those things. His work was to speak dominion over it. Mr. Oak Tree, you need to cast your shade over here. This little rose bush, you need to come and display your beauty here. He began to speak. He began to cultivate. Now, I can't prove that, but I can prove what Jesus did. Because Jesus, what did He do? He spoke to the fig tree. When Satan came to Him in the temptation, the very first temptation according to Matthew 4, when Satan came to Him in the temptation, what did He say? He said, you can speak to this stone and it will become bread. And in that process, The Lord didn't say, no, I can't. He said, but the word says. Because he began to address the real issue behind what Satan... Because Satan said something that was true. Satan understood something that was true. Satan understood that the Lord Jesus had the dominion to speak to that stone and change it. Change its very nature. Change its very structure. He understood that. It's about time for the church to wake up and understand that we can speak in the same way to the structures that are around us and change their very nature. Take dominion. Begin to cultivate and keep that which God has placed us in. See, when we're to keep it, that means to guard over it, to watch over it. To render it functional. So in this process, we need to do what Jesus did. We need to wake up and understand that just as Jesus asserted dominion, he caused the earth to serve. That was Adam's original purpose, was to cause the earth to serve, to cause it to serve the plan of God, to cause it to serve and bring glory to the Father. This is our charge as well. Now, we're going to look a little different in how we do it. Some may be called to an evangelistic serving. Others will be called to a stewardship serving. Others are going to be called, but every one of us is called to cause the earth to serve, to bring glory to the Father. And if all we're about is making our basic provision, we're going to miss the point. We're going to miss the call that God has placed in our life. So that means that we have to begin to realize that God intended for us to not stay under that curse that was imposed in Genesis 3:17. Genesis 3:17, I want to read it out of the King James. Because in the King James it says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the ground of the tree, which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Now, what did we say from Proverbs 10 and 22? The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it. So what he's saying, he's given us a way out of this curse. And that way out is the same as our salvation. It has to come by the grace of God. It has to come by the inheritance that God has freely given us. We have to begin to realize that, yes, I will have things that I am an employee doing, but those things are not my occupation. Those things are the bringing forth and the calling forth of the harvest of God, the bringing forth of the glory of the Lord. Genesis 3 and 17 again, and 3 and 18, and say, both thorns and thistles shall grow for you, and you shall eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. That was the curse that came into existence. But God in the cross provided us a way out. Instead of believing our five senses, we can begin to believe the word, begin to take forth the testimony of what God has said in his word, take forth the testimony of his promises to us, grab a hold of them, and begin to call forth the covenant of God on our behalf. See, the covenant laws that are there in place, they still work. They'll work for you. When you begin to discover that, hey, when I take the word and I stand on it and I proclaim it and I ask, I want to receive, because the covenant is still in effect. See, we have a kingdom purpose. We have kingdom purpose. To be about our Father's business means to mean that we're going to have to look a little different. God came and set you free. Matthew 6. I guess I'm not going to actually have time to go there because it's already out of time. Oops. Continued on. Okay, let me wrap this up. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. What God was trying to say there was begin to learn how the kingdom of God operates. One example of seeking first the kingdom of God we talked about last week. We talked about where the rich young ruler came and all he saw was a problem of subtraction. But God wanted him to see that it wasn't an issue of subtraction, but a multiplication. And in the invitation, when he said, come and come with me, in that invitation was actually the solution to the young man's problem. Sell all you have and come with me. The "and come with me" was the important part because as he came with Jesus, then he would have seen the multiplication of the bread, the turning of five loaves and a few fishes into a feeding of 5,000. And he would have seen the feeding of the 4,000. And he would have seen the walking upon the water. And he would have experienced life as Jesus knew it. And no longer been limited to what this earth system was dictating, but would begin to step into the multiplication that God had ordained. So those are the things that he wants us to begin to see and to begin to focus on. And if you recall that there were 12 baskets. There were 12 baskets that were left at the end of the day when Jesus had broken the bread and the 5,000 were fed. And at the end of those 12 baskets, so I want to say 12 is usually the number that is reserved for government. And holding that in mind, we look to Isaiah, verse 6. Chapter 9, verse 6, and it says, "For unto us a child is born, a son will be given unto us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, and there will be no end of the increase of his government or of peace." That 12 baskets that they collected was basically Jesus' way of saying, I took your provision and I put it upon my shoulders and I took it to the cross. It's not your burden any longer. It's not your burden any longer. I took that burden upon me, and look at the bounty that flows forth. Look at the bounty that flows forth when you step into my government, when you step into my government and no longer being earthbound, no longer being self-bound, but being God-bound, being kingdom thought and minded. There's a change. There is no end. So Lord, with us today, Father, as we wrap this up, we say, today, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, Father. Give us this day our daily bread. For today, Lord, you have ordained that place, that time with you, that finance with you. Father, that everything that we have need of, Father, you've made provision for it. You told us to ask. So, Lord, we come asking, believing that we receive. And we ask you, Lord, for your daily bread. We ask you, Lord, to begin to reach into our lives and our circumstances and our thought patterns and change our thought patterns, Lord. Change the way we think and the way we see things around us. Change the way we behold the world that we interact with. And change the way, Lord, the world interacts with us as a result of your blessing. Father, I thank you that for you are blessed who daily loadeth us with benefits. I thank you that you've desired a greater end for us, Father. And Father, your word says that with those that are humble, with those that are humble and fear the Lord, there's riches and honor and life. Lord, we'll take the time to seek out and do things your way, Lord. No longer believing what the enemy has tried to tell us, Father, but recognizing that even he knows that the authority to change the very atmosphere, the authority to change the very structure of a thing lies within your kingdom. Lies within your authority. Lord, we desire to recognize these things within ourselves. Start with the hard, stony authorities, Father, the hard, stony places within us, Father. Father, we give you access to change those things by your kingdom. And Father, let us begin to line up with your word. Let us begin to line up with your heavenly promises. Let us begin to line up, Father, with your desire and your will for this day and this time. Father, that the kingdom might come forth. That, Father, we would become the answer to someone else's question. Father, there are those who are all over this world crying out for a Savior. Let us become the answer to those questions. Let us recognize that power and that authority within ourselves to change the world. So, Lord, we just give you our praise. And we thank you, Father, for what you have done and ordained in this day. In Jesus' name. Amen.